Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson in the studio with my partner in crime, Lee Kimball. How are you doing today, Lee?
You know me, just a thrill a minute.
Good, good. A thrill a minute.
That's... every single minute.
Good for you. Well, thanks for tuning in. And today we're going to talk about something that I think is super important and might be really helpful. But it might be something you never looked at. Because when you hear about it, you think, oh no, not for me. I don't have those issues.
Well, why don't we start off with give yourself the benefit of just opening your mind for a moment.
Yeah. Because we're going to talk today about a tool that helps people live better lives. And the tool is called the 12 steps. I know right away you're thinking, no, I don't drink like that. Or I don't take drugs or I don't gamble.
Well, you know, you could go on and on because there's a plethora of groups or organizations that have adopted them to help for a multitude of challenges.
Yeah. Whether you have an eating disorder or a problem with alcohol or...
codependence.
Yeah. Or somebody you love has those problems and you're just trying to cope with the craziness that life has become because somebody you love is struggling with some sort of an addiction. That's what the 12 steps are about. They're actually just spiritual principles put together to help people find a good way of living.
Now, when you say spiritual, Beth, does it have anything to do with religion?
No. But when the 12 steps were first put together a long time ago, there were two men that started what is known today as Alcoholics Anonymous. But they borrowed some principles from a group called the Oxford Group. The Oxford Group was religious.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be honest and say, where they started from, it was religious. But because it was like that, it wasn't really working for these two guys. They needed something more open, something that people could come to and not have to live a certain way or say the right thing or be there at a certain time or whatever it was. They wanted it to be something that you chose to save your life.
Well, kind of eliminate the... Now, the four absolutes, was that the Washingtonians?
Yes.
Okay.
Why don't you talk about that?
Well, you know, I'm not real familiar, but I know that there was another group called the Washingtonians that, and again, this was speaking of alcoholism, and this was in the early 30s, late 20s, and it was a time where people that were suffering from alcoholism, I mean, you were pretty much doomed. It was a hopeless condition, as their book says, a hopeless state of mind and body, and these Washingtonians had these four absolutes. I don't recall what they were, but if you followed... it started to get some success for them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but then what happened was they expanded. And they said, well, if it'll work on this, let's try it on this, and let's try it on that, and let's try it on that. And, you know, along came the term, better to do one thing well than many things poorly. And what was a wonderful, thriving group...
Fell apart. Yeah. Well, today, I want to talk about people where they're at today. Maybe you've never had an issue where you couldn't stop something like... something that was detrimental to you. Drinking is an easy one. That you know, it did come from Alcoholics Anonymous. They're the ones that put these 12 steps together. And let's face it, we all know somebody who drinks too much. We all know somebody who struggles with a drinking issue. It used to be that was, you know, people didn't talk about it. People didn't know about it. But with today's driving down the street late at night, you're going to see police cars with lights on, cars pulled over, and people walking beside the car trying to walk a straight line. You're going to see that there's an issue in our society.
But you know what you may not see on the side of the road is people that are stuck in relationships that are hurting them. People that are struggling trying to raise children that are fighting them at every corner. People that are suffering from depression. People that are eating their emotions. Those mm-hmm. are the things you don't see at the side of the road. But you know what? We all know somebody. We all know somebody that's facing a challenge. It's the human condition.
So let's talk about that, the human condition. And I think that that's a good starting off point. Because when I talk about the 12 steps, And we're going to talk about each of them today. If you've never heard of them, this is going to be a great show for you because it's going to give you a little education, but it's going to be in a way that might help you personally. You know, maybe you're blessed that you don't have any of these problems that we're talking about. Maybe your life is going pretty well, but everybody has something in their life over which they're powerless.
Ah, powerlessness. And it's ironically, that's where the whole thing begins.
It is where it begins.
With an admission.
You know, I remember when Ronald Reagan was in office, Nancy Reagan made a comment. She said, just say no. She's the one who started that. Just say no to drugs. Mm-hmm. And you know, that sounds like, it took off. It flew. People loved it. But the reality is, saying just say no to a drug addict is like saying just buy a house to a homeless person.
Or somebody that's suffering from clinical depression, just saying, just cheer up.
Yeah, just cheer up. And they can't. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't. There are things that happen, and it's mental health and mental illness, and these are illnesses. Addiction is an illness. Alcoholism is an illness.
It's mental wellness.
Right. And so when you can look at the thing over which you're powerless, and you can kind of turn to a group or to a way of life or to a program that will help you maintain, and they say what, one day at a time?
Just 24 hours and break it down more if you need to.
Because powerlessness is an ongoing event. So break it down into bite-sized capsules that you can deal with. And 24 hours. For the next 24 hours, I'm going to admit that I'm powerless over my daughter and how she lives her life. Somebody out there is listening going, wait, why did she say that? Because you are powerless over your daughter and how she lives her life. I've seen a lot of people struggle with children that have drug and alcohol problems, with children that have problems with depression, with children that have questions about their sexuality and they're not sure how to live, with children that have multiple divorces and children from different marriages and can't seem to get it together and create a home.
Well, when you say we're starting with admitting, because like anything else, and we speak of this frequently, you have to take a look and acknowledge that there is something that requires attention. And then you're talking about powerlessness, but in the steps that we're speaking of, then there's a hyphen.
Yeah.
And what comes after the hyphen?
It says, we admitted we were powerless, that our lives had become unmanageable. And, you know, I was lovingly sent to Catholic school when I was a kid. My first 8 years. Oh, yeah.
How much can you read into that?
Yeah. I had the nuns teaching me.
I love when refer to them as the people you could only see from their forehead to their chin.
Yeah. And they usually had a mustache and they were women.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I'm only kidding. But we joking. I'm sorry. For all the sisters listening, I'm sorry. You know
and
that
she loves
we love you.
You.
We love you dearly. And I love the ones that taught me, even the ones that were tough on me. But one thing I came out of that school with was an understanding of basic, actually a pretty good education, and basic grammar and English I was able to really get a grasp on. And what the nuns taught me is when there's a hyphen, when there's a hyphen in a sentence, we admitted we were powerless, hyphen, whatever comes after that hyphen is going to better describe the first part of the sentence.
It's not a separate thought.
It's not a separate thought. If it were a separate thought, there'd be a semicolon. That's what I was taught. So we admitted we were powerless, that our lives had become unmanageable.
Which is an expansion on the first part of the
sentence. Yeah, if you're powerless over something, you can't manage it.
Ah.
Think about a two-year-old at times. Sometimes the two-year-old goes off. And when they're in that tantrum, you can grab them, hold them, carry them out of the room. But you're not making them stop the tantrum.
Until they're done.
Until they're stopping. You know, you can't manage the tantrum for them. They have to go off on it. They're in the middle of it. They're going to finish to what degree they have to.
I remember one time when my kids were very young, disciplining my kids and my brother. And I think I spanked one of them on the butt, you know, gently, just to make a point. And my brother said, oh, when I have kids, I'll never do that. I says, what are you going to do? He says, well, I'm going to reason with them. Well, my brother subsequently had kids, and at one point I said to him, so how's that reasoning thing going?
Because it's a tough thing. But that's where we're going to start. We're going to start with powerlessness. You know, what are you powerless over? For me, I'm powerless over a lot of things. I'm powerless over other people. I sometimes have an idea that I think it would be best if somebody did fill in the blank.
Because you care.
I care. I love them. I want them to do well. And I think if you just blah, 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 your life will be better. But that person has freedom of choice. They have free will. They have their own thought processes going.
And their own path.
And their own path. And they will come to their actions based on their thinking, not based on my thinking. So I'm powerless over what they do, sadly.
And as well, have you ever found yourself to be wrong? Because then I'm thinking what I think is best. And you know what? Sometimes there's somebody that's got a better plan than me.
That's a common thing. Sometimes there's somebody that has a better plan. In my life, that somebody is made with a capital S. It's a higher power. The big kahuna in the sky, whatever you want to call it. But for me, the somebody that has a better plan is capitalized. That's somebody. But that's what we're talking about. What are you powerless over? You're listening today on the radio. You don't have a drinking problem. You don't have a drug problem. You're not stuffing yourself with sugar every night. You're not eating the whole tub of ice cream. You're not gambling. You're not in many sexual relationships that aren't going anywhere. You're not pursuing some of the things that people pursue that look to the 12 steps to help them live a better life. But nonetheless, every person that can hear the sound of my voice is powerless over many things.
Is there a phrase in your mind, if they would only?
If they would only, I don't know what you mean.
If they would only blank. If somebody would only
do this, this next thing would happen. That's just an admission of powerlessness if you have that. If only they would do this one thing, life would be better. We're talking today about the 12 steps. Can they help you? I hope you can listen with an open mind, because some of the tenets that they have and the principles behind these 12 steps can help everybody. Stay tuned. We're going to take a short little break, and when we're back, we're going to talk more about it. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for sticking around, folks. And if you do find that some of what we're speaking about today could help you, at that www.bethwe.com, you'll find tutorials on these 12 steps.
Yes, there are some tutorials on there. So let's talk a little bit about step one. One of the things that people often notice about the step is it starts with the word we. We admitted we were powerless, that our lives had become unmanageable. Whatever the thing is that you can't control, that you've tried with a, you know, merciless obsession to control, but you can't control, and it's making a little bit, you're seeing some unmanageability in your life. Know this, you're not alone.
Nope.
It starts with the word we, because everybody has those issues. There's not one of us that popped out with complete power. And powerlessness is a common and natural state of being for the human being.
Well, we're back to your continuum that you always speak of.
Yes. What are you doing with your arms?
You know, and it's funny, this is radio, but I have my arms out at the side, and I am duplicating a scale. One side goes up, the other side goes down.
Right. And when you're powerless, it's a hard thing to admit. But I can tell you this, Lee, when I look at almost any time that I'm uncomfortable or angry or irritated, I'm powerless. Let's talk about traffic. You ever get irritated in the car? The guy in front of you is going, what? Come on, guy, that's as green as it's going to get. Have you ever heard somebody say that? That's as green as the light's going to get, dude. Let's go, let's go.
37 people just passed you in the right lane. Maybe you should move over.
These kind of things. You're powerless over that fellow in the other car. And, you know, unless you're going to roll your window down and pull up next to him and yell at him, he can't hear what you're saying. He doesn't know what you're saying.
But you're willingly giving your serenity to it.
You are. And you're actively giving your serenity, not just willingly, but actively. Mm-hmm. You're you're giving up. That's powerlessness at like a place where you probably experience it almost every day, but you never really think about it.
And giving up my serenity is a symptom of unmanageability.
Right. Did you ever pick the perfect line in Publix? And you're doing that. Publix is a grocery store down here in the Florida area, for those of you listening across the country. So you're in your favorite grocery store. You pick the perfect line. You got the groceries unloaded or mostly unloaded. You're going to have, as soon as they move that little thing, you'll pick the rest of them on.
Don't tell me the new cashier's coming on.
Well, no. And then the person ahead of you has something without a price on it.
Oh.
And they have to go looking for it. And the first bus or the little bag boy they send can't find it. So go get the manager. So now they get the manager, and the manager says, there's no more on the shelf. I'll have to go in the back. And your perfect little line with all your stuff on the conveyor belt has suddenly become
the wrong
line. I'm in the wrong line. And when you get home, you say, oh, I got in this terrible line at Publix or at my grocery, and this happened. And you're powerless, though. I mean, you could put everything back in your cart and go to another line. You have the power to do that. But to make it go faster in that line, sorry, you're out of luck. The reality of the human existence is we're powerless over a lot of things. So look at some of the things that are troubling you. Do you have people that are coming in for a holiday dinner, but they're not going to fly in until the day of? And so you have to hope that their flight's going to be on time so that the dinner that you cook all day isn't put off and overcooked and not the way you want it to be.
Or the people that showed up for Christmas dinner, for a 2 o'clock Christmas dinner last year at my home, that showed up at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, that's a hard thing. You're powerless over things like that. Every one of us has things over which we're powerless. And when I'm powerless, I can't manage. I can't manipulate it to make it better. I try, though. I spend a lot of time trying.
Energy.
Oh, my goodness. I expend so much energy trying to control other people, trying to control places, trying to control things that are beyond my control.
It's kind of making you insane.
It surely does. So that's when we go to step two. So what's step two say?
Step two is where
we came to believe
that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
So you came to believe, though. That's a big deal. You know, you don't just believe it off the top of the bat. Oh, okay, a higher power can restore me to sanity. Cool. A power greater than me can restore me to sanity. Great.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I got it.
What else you got?
The thing about this second step is about moving into a place of hope. You come out of this powerlessness, this mode of, oh my gosh, there's nothing I can do about it. And what the second tenet is supposed to teach you is hope. You go from just being lost, but being honest about it. Being honest about being lost.
The admission.
Yeah. And you go from, as soon as you can get honest about how lost you are in an area, you can get into hope. And the hope comes with the thought that there may be a power greater than you. And if you can come to believe that there's a power greater than you that could restore your sanity. And that can be in the moment at the grocery aisle. That can be in the car at the moment that guy is not responding to the green light. It can be anywhere. It can be when you're dialing your daughter's number and she's not picking up again and you don't know what that means. Is she there? Is she okay?
Is she blowing me off?
Does she know it's me and she doesn't want to talk to me? You know, so many of us have people that we love that are going through hard times, and we can't control it and we can't change it. But there is one who has all power. There's a great one. There's something bigger out there. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to. Just seek it. If you seek it, if you say, okay, I'm opening my mind to the thought that there might be something greater out there than me, even if it's a group.
Because, you know, you don't have to name it.
Yeah. Even if it's a group of people that have been through what you've been through and they can help you get through it. It can be something like that. But here's the deal. came to. You come to. It's like waking up from it. It's like I've been struggling with this for so long, and I've decided to wake up and come to, and come to believe.
It's come to this.
Yeah. That I'm going to have to look for a greater power. I'm going to have to look outside myself for help, because I'm powerless, and there's nothing I can do about it on my own.
And in that book we're referencing, it talks about that lack of power was our dilemma.
Yeah. That was the book. What was that book called? It's the book that, it's called Alcoholics Anonymous, right?
Yes.
It's a book that Bill Wilson wrote. He pretty much wrote most of it. They have stories in the back about different people that went through different trials of trying to get their lives back together. That's for one thing. And we're talking to all of you. This is not about alcoholism. This is about anything.
This is about powerlessness.
Yeah, anything over which you have no power. And it's kind of running your show a little bit right now.
Or driving your train, as Beth says.
That's like what I say, driving your train. What's driving your train? So you come to a place of hopefully, and then the next thing you're looking for after that, in the third step, is faith. Isn't that a funny thing? So you go from, we admitted we were powerless, that our lives had become unmanageable. Then you came to believe that a power greater than self could restore me to sanity. And the third thing is what? Made a decision.
Making a decision.
Made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood God. And you know, it's just a decision. We're not asking you to go feed the hungry in Africa. We're not asking you to go to church every Sunday. We're not asking you to fill in the blank with whatever you think we're asking you.
It's not a pass or fail proposition.
No. It's just a decision. I'm going to make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of this higher power. You know, it's funny. When I was first looking at these 12 steps, this was many years ago, I started to study them with a couple of people that were teaching me about them. And one of the things is they said, make a decision to take a look at the rest of the 12 steps before you try to start managing your life again. Make a decision to try to at least check out what these principles have for you before you start trying to control your daughter again, before you start trying to not drink again, before you start trying to, you know,
control whatever's,
whatever it is that you're powerless over.
Whatever your challenge.
Yeah. So when you're looking at this, that's important for you to know. It's a decision, nothing else. They're not asking you to run off to the Foreign Legion and become someone who dedicates their whole life to other people.
Well, the best analogy I've heard, and I just love it, is, you know, you have three frogs sitting on a log, and one of them decides to jump off the log. How many frogs are on the log?
How many?
There are three frogs on the log, Beth, because he only made a decision. He hasn't taken any action. He just made the decision.
So it's the beginning of action.
Yes.
Making the decision is the beginning of action. And making the decision is having faith that the action may help. We're talking today about the 12 steps for everyone. A group of principles. They are kind of spiritual in nature, but they're certainly not religious. And they're certainly not just about alcoholism.
And a new manner of living.
Yeah. Stay tuned. We're going to take a break for the news. We'll come back with our 5 on 5. And we'll get back into this. Thanks for tuning in.